This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Hi, I'm Liv.
And I'm Sandra.
And this is our 11 and a half week old Emily, who might be making some cute noises in the background.
She's making very cute noises, and that's the cutest cardigan. It's radio, but I'm adoring it. And what does the t-shirt say?
Oh, you know, it's the obligatory, if you think I'm cute, you should see my mum's.
We're here to talk about a guest of ours that we've had twice on, which was My Midwives Melbourne. Talked about conception here, but we've not yet spoken to someone who's delivered through the midwife experience, and that's what we're wanting to hear from yourselves. Now, they've talked to us about the continuity of care. So, firstly, when you peed on the stick or got the blood test or got the positive, why did you think midwife is the way I wanted to go?
I think for me, I had two friends who'd already had home births with midwives. One of them had had a first birth as a caesarean in the hospital, and after that done a lot of research into how she wanted to have her next two births, and they were both home births. She went on to become a doula, so yep. I guess I had a little bit of her story, and then another friend who'd had both her children at home for home birth as well, and they just really had very positive stories, and I thought, why not? If it means you can stay at home, not have to go to the hospital, it's a bonus.
And so was Emily, yep. Emily's birth a home birth?
She was, yeah, and what a birth.
Wow. Yeah, so, because yeah. We've interviewed the midwives, and we know some people have started off with home birth and then ended up having to transfer to the hospital. So it's a really big deal to even prepare and be able to stay and finish the delivery. So how did you first get in touch with My Midwives?
Reason why we chose My Midwives in Brunswick was because your doula friend knew Jess, yeah. The LGBTI inclusive birth educator whose classes we attended. So yeah, that was the connection there, and we just felt really comfortable, you know, with her and Hannah and her mother, Andrea, who's been a midwife for over 30 years. Felt like we were in just such safe hands from the word go that, yeah, it was a no-brainer, really. And similar to what Sandra was saying about having friends who had home birth experience, I had sort of the opposite experience. All of my friends with babies had traumatic hospital births, and they always use the word trauma in their stories. So, you know, wanting to avoid that was my logic, I guess, for doing what we did.
Yeah. So when you went to the LGBTI birth classes, because we've had them in here to talk about that, what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was really special. We'd actually already booked in and done a calm birthing class just before we realised that there was the one that Jess was running, the LGBTI one. Compared to sitting through a session where, I guess, you know, they say, and now, you know, the partners, you know, you always feel like, oh, yes, they're making that special effort make you
they're
feel
stopping
that
and
you're
thinking
included.
That, yeah.
It was so, like the fathers and Sandra.
Yeah, it was too, wasn't it? And, yeah, instead of having that sort of in the background, it was much easier. You felt like you belonged and your story was part of, you know, was similar to everyone around the room.
And did you get to meet other couples that you're still in touch with, because I assume they might be delivering or have delivered the same time as yourself?
Yeah, we've received a couple of emails about a couple of births that have occurred, and I believe Jess is going to try and organise a reunion, so that'd be
awesome.
Lovely. Yeah, we've kind of got it.
But at that time of that birth class with Jess and My Midwives Melbourne in Brunswick, had you decided home birth is what I want to do, or was there a period where you thought, no, there's a bit more learning, I know I want a midwife? At what point did you go, actually, that's the way I want to deliver?
The funny thing is, for me, and I didn't deliver, so obviously it wasn't really my decision in the end, but I think I was keen not to have to go to the hospital. You know, think of hospitals at places where you go if you're sick or injured, and just for a natural process, as, you know, intense as it will definitely be, to be able to do that at home in your own environment that you're comfortable in was number one for me. But I guess Liv didn't have, you know, hadn't heard people's stories who'd done that, and yeah. So it would have been a decision she had to make.
Yeah, and I think, you know, being a first birth, if I hadn't known Sandra and trusted her good judgment and, you know, those experiences that she's explained, I think I would have probably thought that it would be a romantic idea to have a home water birth, but I probably wouldn't have chosen that path just due to fear and anxiety around that. But like you said, doing research, we were like, you know, reading together, and we just learned so much in, you know, the 10 months that you're pregnant.
Yeah.
It was just such a great learning curve, and I learned a lot about myself and, you know, where perhaps I might
pain
feel
threshold and
absolutely
fear and
where my crisis of confidence might come up. That's a bit of jargon there for you. And it went so smoothly.
And the midwives, I know, are really there to help that journey and to help prepare you for that.
Absolutely.
And to prepare the support partner to keep that plan in action, because I can imagine the person delivering might be a bit distracted. that plan that has kind of... Then it turns to the support person. And did you feel that you were, as a support person, ready to step up into that space? Because you do need to become the person driving the action, if to use that word, because Liv can't.
Yep, I think Liv is a pretty prepared person and had all kinds of lists up on the room. We actually prepared a whole room.
Amazing.
With, you know,
affirmations on the wall.
Yeah, and quotes from books.
That's right.
Which, of course, we'd never referred to during the
Of course,
episode.
Never.
We didn't even get to light a candle or, you know, put the music on.
It was all over in 4.5 hours.
So. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah,
Because I was the support person for my sister's pregnancy.
Wonderful.
And because her husband was there also. We had and hers was a hospital induction that turned into an emergency cesarean, 23 hours, highly traumatic. The start of it, we had, even at the beginning, so many things in place, so many things we were going to do. No, it all went out the window. And even in that hospital setting, it was just a bit chaos and stressful. And I know, as a support person, I didn't feel like I was educated enough to know how to support my sister in that. And her husband felt the exact same way. Mm. So those lists and stuff are there. How different was it from what you had kind of best case plan scenario to what it was?
Yeah, I guess we were very fortunate in that it was a very quick and quite straightforward birth, as far as they go, knock on wood. But we certainly had talked through all scenarios and were prepared to go to the hospital if that happens and that's what you need to do.
That's right, which almost happened.
Oh, wow.
It's complicated, but basically, there was a time where I might have... I would have had to go to hospital had I not managed to dilate almost fully in the space of, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
So that was just, sheer luck, really. And we're just so thrilled to, be able to sort of follow through after all that planning to, you know, have an experience that for me was even better than, you know, I ever imagined. It was just such a positive.
That sounds phenomenal.
Beautiful moment, yeah.
Yeah.
And we really were prepared by the midwives because, like Liv said, we read so much.
Yeah.
And you don't realise until you start reading how much, you know, you generally know about pregnancy and what's involved. It almost got to the point of too much information. So we'll slow
down
with the reading.
Step back. I know what I'm doing here. So with the midwives, what I love is that I can never pronounce the word continuity of care. Finally got it out. Their role doesn't sometimes end there. They are still there amongst the days, you know, the days after and the weeks after. Can you talk to us about that so that people can think about that as their experience?
Sure. Yeah, so during pregnancy, you see them as often as required, and generally that's once a week from about, 30 weeks or so, I think, or maybe a bit earlier. And then afterwards, Hannah or Andrea were visiting at home, so I didn't have to leave the house or my bed, which was fantastic for, you know, every day for a few days and then every couple of days and then as required, like once a week or whatever, before I was able to make appointments in the clinic myself, which was just fantastic. And I still keep in touch with them all because they run just a social kind of gathering lunch every week. So it's just great to hang out with other people who've gone through similar journeys. The same midwives, and, you know, who doesn't love a room full of little babies?
A lot of people see, you know, they think one home birth, they see it as a scary experience because they think, oh my God, give me the drugs, give me the epidural, give me all that sort of stuff. For someone who's gone through it, as a partnership that have gone through it, what would you say to someone going, oh my God, I'm scared of the pain factor?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's all about the context. I mean, pain, birth pain is such a different pain to being injured or something. It's all about just trusting your body. And when you're empowered enough to do that because you have that support around you, your judgment of the process and trusting your body and doing all those, you know, really empowering things can happen because you're not subject to, you know, the hospital policies and procedures, to, you know, shifts ending and nurses and doctors wanting to speed things up and
change,
you know,
over.
And the, you know, cascade of intervention, to use another jargon term, you know, that often occurs with hospital birth. So I think for me, I have anxiety, and so managing that was, you know, important to me, but I was totally in safe hands, and as a consequence, had a great experience. Sorry, she's making a bit of
Amelia
noise now.
Is good. Amelia, you've done so well in this interview. You ladies are heading off to the rally today. What does you're holding the most beautiful blessing in your hands. What does this marriage equality campaign mean to yourselves?
Look, quite simply for me, it's about marrying the woman I love. You know, it's that simple. It's not rocket science. It's not more complicated than that. It would just be nice to do that. Yeah. I remember when John Howard changed the laws, I was a teenager, and I remember thinking, it's okay, Liv, by the time I'm 30, I'll be able to get married. You know, and I turned 34 this year, so I just can't believe we're still having this conversation. It's boring, you know.
It's crazy, like,
it's time
to
move on. Yeah, absolutely.
And the debate that, you know, I've spent the morning interviewing rainbow children from the ages of 21 to now 11 months, because Amelia 11 weeks. Sorry, that's how wrong I am at hosting a family show. You know, people think this Yes campaign means people start having families. We've been having families
for a very long time.
For a very long time. We've had midwives taking care of us for a very long
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely. So any leave, because Amelia really wants to get to this rally and be heard. I feel it. I feel it in her. Is there anything you'd recommend to people considering the midwife option to, you know, hospital kind of setting?
Look, I think at the end of the day, everyone just needs to do some research and make their own decisions, really, you know, informed decisions. If you just leave it to chance, I think, you know, you just become another statistic, unfortunately, and the likelihood of you describing what could be a beautiful, wonderful experience as traumatic is just more and more likely. And yeah, and in terms of the marriage rally, I think it's, you know, we're very fortunate that Amelie is too young to be affected by the hate speech that's going on. So just a little quick message, if I can, to all the young queer people out there, all the children of queer families, you know, you are loved. Mm. You are absolutely perfect just the way you are, and, you know, hang in there.
Well, congratulations. Gorgeous bundle.
So much.
I'm
going
to let you get
us
to the rally. Thank you again for sharing your story.
Thanks, Gina. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.